You're listening to KGOU. I'm Jacob McClelland. The Oklahoma Innocence Project is experiencing an increase in requests for assistance. As part of our weekly conversation about business news in the state, I spoke with Journal Record editor Ted Struley about the Law Clinic that works to identify cases of wrongful convictions and seek exonerations. Ted, Journal Record reporter Molly Fleming wrote a piece this week about the Oklahoma Innocence Project. Why is their caseload booming right now?
Well, the Innocence Project has had success now exonerating two men, Malcolm Scott and DeMarto Carpenter, and that success, which got a lot of attention, has attracted a lot of others who hope the Innocence Project will be able to take their cases as well.
Could you refresh us a little bit on those two exonerees, Scott and Carpenter? What's their story?
Sure. Well, Scott and Carpenter, who were both 39 years old last year when they were let out of prison, were each sentenced in Tulsa County to life plus 170 years after being convicted of the first-degree murder and some related charges in a 1994 shooting in which 19-year-old Karen Summers were killed. They were exonerated a year ago and freed from prison after an Innocence Project investigation uncovered some new witnesses and some new testimony that the jury did not hear at the time.
So what cases is the Innocence Project taking up right now?
Well, right now they have two cases that are already in the courts, Willard O'Neill's in Tulsa County and Patrick Sampson in Pawnee County. Pawnee County judge asked the Innocence Project to look into Sampson's case after he saw the group's success with Carpenter and DeMarto.
So what are the stories behind these two individuals, behind O'Neill and Sampson?
Well, O'Neill was convicted in a 2001 Tulsa homicide, but the Innocence Project says the state's case against him rested on witnesses who gave false testimony and a ballistics expert who improperly testified regarding a gun that was mishandled by two law enforcement agencies. Sampson was convicted of first-degree murder and first-degree arson charges. That was in 1995 and the Pawnee County death of a 20-year-old man who burned to death when the trailer in which he was sleeping was set on fire. But clearly a judge there isn't comfortable with that conviction.
How does the Innocence Project find these new cases?
In the case of the Pawnee County situation, that judge asked the Innocence Project to look into it after he saw the group's success elsewhere.
Do they also receive requests directly from inmates, for instance?
Well, they get a lot of requests from inmates. They've now got someone, a law student, whose full-time job is sorting and opening the mail. About 80% of those requests that they get by mail come from prisons around the United States.
Now, I imagine that these types of cases are very expensive. I mean, how does the project find lawyers to work on them?
Well, Jacob, you're right. They are expensive. They typically cost $40,000 to $50,000 per case, but in some cases, the cost can be double that. Since the clinic's success has raised its profile, that's in turn drawn more attorneys who want to volunteer to help, but they still have a huge backlog.
How many full-time employees does the Innocence Project actually have?
Well, they have one, and she's a legal assistant. The rest of the staff are law students and volunteer lawyers.
And they're law students at Oklahoma City's University's law school.
Right.
So what do the students and attorneys who work on these cases say about criticisms that their work is kind of like a witch hunt to find who erred in an investigation?
They deny that completely. They remind their critics that their work is solely about getting someone out of prison who shouldn't be there. They're not interested in laying blame to someone in the past.
Where does the Innocence Project's funding come from?
Well, they compete with other nonprofits for donations, but they're really hoping that one of these days they'll find a benefactor who might provide an endowment to secure their future.
We've been talking today with Journal Record editor Ted Struley. Ted, thank you so much.
My pleasure, Jacob.
KGOU and the Journal Record collaborate each week on the Business Intelligence Report. You can find this conversation archived at kgou.org. You can also find it on social media. We're on Facebook and Twitter at Journal Record and at KGOU News.